lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Ladies and gents, welcome to a very special app. Our first overseas podcast episode. We're here in Thailand, post-Thai Grand Prix. Wow. What a weekend, mate. Jesus.
Mate, joined by Moto Heaven entrepreneur, Tommy.
Founder and CEO.
Founder, CEO, CFO, something, all the EOs. And our main sponsor, Mr. Adrian Atleti from Moto Heaven, mate.
Thanks for having me, gents. Appreciate it.
It's been a... Wow, what a crazy weekend.
It's been a whirlwind of a weekend. And I don't think we could ask for much more. It just went... perfectly.
If you're listening to this right now, we're actually outside our hotel room in what's the time right now, roughly?
Like about 10 o'clock.
It's 10 in the morning, yep. And it's like 35 degrees already.
Yep.
Already hot. Overheating.
I apologize for any background noise and stuff, but you know, you can't give up
Buriram.
You can't give up on this opportunity. So, the Skyview Hotel, give them a bit of a shout out. They've been fantastic.
Yes.
We weren't hoping for much, to be honest with you. And they've delivered outstandingly. So
nothing beats low expectations.
No, exactly. Yeah,
it's been the best. But the thing is like we've got six guys here.
Yeah.
It only works for guys.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You can't bring your missus.
Don't bring your missus here. Not happy.
It won't work at all.
And the crew we've had has just been incredible. Like we've got everyone works a life. Maddie's behind the camera. We've got Mark and Mark off doing their own thing as usual.
Standard.
And then us three as well. So it's been awesome. Like we've had a ball. So we're off to Phuket this afternoon to a bit of R&R.
Okay, yep. Got to be good. Look at the king. Look at him out there smiling by the camera.
Speaking of king, he's back.
The king is back.
Mark Marquez, yeah.
Unbelievable racing, huh?
Unbelievable. Domination.
Domination. Brothers Destruction are back.
We are looking at a very interesting season coming up, and I think, that's... It's going to be used to lose, that's
It's crazy,
sure.
Right? Because it's the whole weekend is... It's almost like everything's flipped a little bit. Like, more Bedelli's been up there. Ayoguro, we need to talk about him, but how amazing Ayoguro was.
Debut king.
Two top fives for his debut, which is like incredible. On a non-factory bike, or non-factory team, I should say.
Number one Aprilia. Yeah. Miller qualifying fourth. Like, that was amazing to see. So, it's just interesting. It feels like the tide's turning a little bit.
It's closer. Like, the whole field's closer. Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing, isn't it? I mean, you got Zarco finishing seventh in the main race. I think it's incredible what Honda and Yamaha have done in the last off season. So it's super exciting for us.
Don't mind me. I'm just getting the MotoGP results for you guys. All right, let's go through it.
Yep.
First, Marc Marquez. Second, Alex Marquez. Third, Pecco Bagnaia, 2.3 seconds off. Morbidelli in fourth. Ayoguro, MVP, fifth. Marco Bezzecchi, sixth. Mate, Zarco, Honda, seventh. Brad Binder, eighth. Ennea Bastianini is the big surprise here, ninth. He made up about 12 positions in that race. Yeah. And Digia in 10th. Jack Miller, 11th. And Marini, 12th. And so it's just progress. It's actually a funny story. We spoke to one of the press officers for HRC over the weekend. shout out to Harry, actually a fellow Aussie, and we were talking about Honda, and he's like, mate, I've seen your guys' clips. And he's pointing at Tom like, I was one more clip away from blocking you guys, because Tom was just giving it to Honda, and I'm sure it was probably one.
It was funny, I saw him in the back of the pits post-race. I went, mere low side again, but you know, it happens. They're definitely much improved over the off season.
Much improved, but it's crazy. Like they're faster, they're visibly faster. Like they've done a way bigger improvement than I thought.
Yeah.
And I have won mere 13th in the championship, and I reckon I'm on for that.
13th.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what they weren't doing? They weren't crashing their brains out.
They weren't. Not the whole weekend.
I remember one crash in either races, and that was Miller. Can I?
No, it was Honda. Crash. Honda. Oh.
And Mir, sorry.
Honda. Yeah.
And Raul Fernandez retired in the main race. He was up there about 6th or 7th, and he retired, I think, with engine failure or something along the lines of that. So, shout out to him as well. He had a great weekend.
So who's that?
Raul Fernandez.
Oh, yeah, I know.
On the track house.
True.
Yeah, track house had a great...
Yeah, the team did really
Yeah, they had a great weekend, so... And right. Great colours. How's that golf livery? Amazing. The
golf livery.
One of the
incredible.
Best liveries I've seen ever on a MotoGP bike.
I had a Red Hot Cracker trying to get one of those polos. Yeah. Off the
teams. Oh, did you?
Yeah. And they said that it was all a bit last minute and they didn't get the chance to get the merch side of things done.
Did you say they'll go on the Argentina with that as well?
Yeah. I think two rounds, they said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Aigura.
Yeah.
How good is that? It has to be probably the best debut since like Marc Marquez podiuming. You know, since 2013, like that's as good as a debut I can remember in 10 years at least.
And the thing is with him, which is amazing, there was no expectation at all. I mean, it was probably the biggest surprise of the weekend for all of us.
Yeah.
And for him to put it in the top five on in both races is incredible.
Amazing effort. Yeah. On Aprilia, which we had no idea about. We didn't know how fast it's going to be. Bez looked quick through testing. And for me, I think he was underwhelming through the Grand Prix.
I know there was that tyre thing with Martin in testing.
Okay.
As part of the reason for the crash. But yeah. he did 13 laps and fell off it twice.
Yeah.
And Agüero's come out and dominated all weekend, staying on the bike.
It's amazing. Impressive. It was so impressive. And even in testing, Marc Marquez was saying, I think to Fabio Quartararo, like how quick Agüero was. And then bang, goes out. And then there's two top fives. It's just unheard of. On a track house, Aprilia, which is, you know, it's a satellite bike, I guess, but a factory back satellite bike. So it's just really impressive and it's so exciting to see. And he is, like, we're bringing this back, but it's the performance. It has to be our performance of the week.
Yeah, bring that back.
I can't see.
Well, he's round one of the year, isn't it? So it is, it just come back. But definitely, I totally agree with that. I think an amazing two races to stay on the bike consistently. Didn't get flustered, didn't crash. So
cool, calm and collected.
Yeah.
Cool, calm and collected.
Yeah. Just, all through the field, there's some interesting performances. I thought Quartararo underperformed. Everyone got so excited after testing. And he was, he'd had an okay weekend, but nothing to just get up and about. And then Vinales, oh my goodness. I mean, I saw him with my own eyes get passed by Som Chandra on the last corner. And he was going down the straight, shaking his head, doing all this. I go, oh man, he's cool.
He didn't jump on a throttle and give it a red box.
mentally cool. And we're not going to name names. We've heard lots of stories to the paddock this weekend about Vinales throwing the toys out the cot. So if it's not going all his way, it just never works
for him. Well, he basically, poor Mav, and he got basically last.
The story was too that the person who you're referring to was talking about him doing it from like 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
So it's systemic.
It's in his blood.
It's in his bones.
But realistically, Chandra and Salvador were last, but he was just above that. So
I know it's not looking good, and it's not looking good because you got Bastianini, who's ninth, and he actually ended up having a pretty good ride. He salvaged a whole lot of points on that bike, and you know. He was our, flop of the year. So it's going to be interesting to see how he carries on from that.
So many stories. I was just touching on before. There's so many stories through the field. And, like, it was funny being in the back of the pits all weekend going, oh, God, I remember that, Aragura's debuting on the track house. Then you got Vinales and Bastianini on the Tech 3. There's just so many stories throughout the field that were so interesting. And I'm so looking forward to getting to Argentina and sort of, you know,
well, Argentina is going to be the barometer. I was talking about this with Danby last night. And, you know, they haven't been there in a couple of years. Mark hasn't even been in there on a Ducati. The whole field's kind of flipped a little bit. It's definitely a Marc Marquez track.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very interesting to see the likes of, you know, Alex Marquez. He's been really quick in Thailand, but they've tested there. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go there. So, you know, you're going to have like Aigura. You're going to see how he goes. You're going to see realistically how the Yamahas and the Hondas are going to go. So it's just going to be a real big test, a big barometer on what's really going to happen.
Yeah. Well, the field's always going to be closer if they've had a test 2 weeks ago as well.
For sure.
And that's the other thing. Argentina, as you just touched on, we haven't been there for 2 years. We've got a lot of different guys on different bikes and manufacturers. So it's going to be where the cream rises to the top.
The biggest, and like, it's just Marc Marquez. Like, Pecco Bagnaia said that he was toying with him. You know, so I read a thing this morning. I was just doing some research as I was dropping the kids off at the pool. He was basically saying that he had a tire pressure warning and he had 3 laps to correct it, which that's why he let Alex Marquez through. Yep. And then he basically had a 3-lap window to get past Alex Marquez and win the race. So at the start of the race, Mark Marquez pulled out, said he was very comfortable, very, very comfortable riding within his limits.
No doubt about that. Yeah, he looked it.
Then the tire pressure warning came up. He knew he had three laps to correct it. And basically what he was saying is he's still getting used to the team. They've set the tire pressures a little, I think it was a bit too low, because during the race he changes his riding style, and I think he takes a little bit less weight off the front. Anyway, he let Alex Marquez through, followed him for 18-20 laps. He knew within three laps to go he could pass him. Passes him, pulls out a 1.5-second lead within, you know, a lap.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
And then it was vintage clinical Mark Marquez, which is terrifying for the rest of the field, because he, like, and he went, overcame those circumstances, which are so easily compared to everyone else in the past few years of tire pressures, and then just came out and won. Like,
yeah,
clinical vintage Mark Marquez. It was amazing to watch. And Age Danby, we were in the Mark Marquez stand. How hot would you reckon it was there? 45 degrees in that stand at least?
It was like 45 with no breeze.
No breeze.
Sitting there dripping.
Dripping wet. And like people, and the Thai fans, they were so awesome. Like taking photos with him. I bloody got in there and I was sat next to you guys, and the guy taps me on the shoulder. He's like, James. That was one of my old customers from Australia. It was absolutely wild. It was like drones flying by. Like you could almost grab them, couldn't you?
100%. They would have got some really cool footage.
Really,
a great crowd as well. I think we talked about this last night, Matty. 200,000+ they had over the 3 days. I reckon that's a ripper crowd. Man,
watching
ripper crowd for we are in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
like we're not in a major city.
No,
we're a long way out from anywhere that's a massive populated area. So, and unreal the amount of Aussie fans were there.
Yeah.
A few Europeans,
French.
As well.
We're speaking the French, Canadians, and the Scandinavians.
Yeah,
this guy from Slovenia who lives next, just down the road from Akrapovic.
There you go.
Correct way to say it, by the way.
going back to Marquez and tire pressures, I don't know why Ducati had to go so fine with it.
Well,
like he dominated all through qualifying, all through the sprint race. Did they have to really go right down to that point where you're on the edge with tire pressures? I don't think they needed to.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know the ins and the outs of it, to be honest. Like, with the temperature, it was a bit cooler on the Sunday compared to the Saturday. It's a hard one to tell.
Yeah, interesting.
But being in that Marquez stand when he won, and you had both Alex Marquez 1-2, like, it was pretty special, wasn't it? How loud was it?
It just, the place erupted. It was fantastic. One of the things I wanted to touch on the temperature, the Thai people, which are used to this temperature, every one of them had a fan running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They literally all have their own little personal fans going. Like they it was hot for everybody.
Yeah. Hot, yeah.
Not just hot for us.
Yeah, not for the white boys. It was hot for all the locals.
100%. And we mentioned that, like, you saw them on the side going, oh, like, they were struggling. And I'm like, oh, they're struggling with fucked.
Oh, I was walking back to get our scooter, and I started chatting to these nice young ladies, and we're talking about, I was just asking what there is to do in Buriram and stuff like that, and she's like, oh, it's even hot for us. And I was it must be hot for us if it's hot for them. And they're just like rolling around in jeans still.
Yeah, they love the long sleeve, don't they?
Yeah. Crazy. And the face mask.
What impressed me most about that, everything was big in at the track.
Bro, signage.
Signage, everything's huge. Like the pit area was just, like the size of that grandstand. Yeah. I mean, it was just, everything was massive. The media center was huge. The media center had this beautiful grandstand you could sit out. I mean, it was just, the facilities were top notch. We probably come from probably the worst facilities
out
of Phillip Island to one of the newest tracks that have been built. So it was a big change.
What did you think, Age?
Oh, absolutely unbelievable. There was, like, the heat was the only thing that was tough to deal with. Everything else was sensational. Yeah. And if you can just push past the fact that it's hot, everything else was really good. Like, shout out to the toilets at this place.
Yes.
Air-conditioned toilets.
It's like an actual truck, right? Not just like a portable thing that's dropped. It's air-conned. It's immaculate. Couldn't believe it. Like, you could get in there for some relief, or if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was good. It was really good.
But there was, I mean, the tires, everything, there was just so many people cleaning up. There was this, you know, the bins weren't overflowing. Like, it was just...
It was clean.
It was clean. Everything was clean. It was
You know what was hard, though? To buy a beer yes. if you're in that Marquez stand yeah. or a water. You could yeah. get as many iced coffees and all these weird sugary treats yeah, yeah, yeah. and all sorts of stuff.
That's funny, we were talking about even the pool here at the hotel. You have a lady come out and just take your order. They'll make six times the amount of money, but it's just not their thing. It's not no. they're walking up and down the stalls going cold beer, hot pies, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot exactly. pies. Not their thing. it's not the money-making scheme like we have in Melbourne.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. Oh, and that's the other thing that was really impressive is the way that, you know, it's 60 baht for a meal out here yes. on the street yeah. and it's 60 baht for a meal in the food hall in yeah, the middle yeah, yeah. of the... And like, you know, there's 100 options to choose yeah. from. Yeah. Amazing food 60 everywhere.
Baht amazing food.
Which is 60 here, baht, yeah. what, $3, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, for $4, you get a meal and a big chang. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy.
What were you saying, Adrian? You said, you know, you couldn't stress enough. You can go into the Grand Prix and spend 60 baht on food, but you could also go to your local restaurant and spend $60 on baht and food.
Exactly.
60 baht on food, $60.
He just said that.
Yeah. I literally just said that.
Oh, I know
what
you said.
Just, but that's good.
He was so down. He was so down. He's talking about the girls he's walking home with last night. He's like a Thai person. Too polite to correct him.
Like even the merch, like an awesome tea, Alpine Stars, or you know, like you guys have.
But wrong
really
one. Gave me the wrong one, but.
Well, you can't remember. It's you know.
But you know, like a really nice bit of merch is $25.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, this is $25. The bloody soccer Buriram soccer jersey.
Yeah, yeah. And whereas you know when you're so used to what happens at Phillip Island and the Formula One. I mean, I bought my son an $80 fucking Mercedes cap at
that's criminal,
at
man.
The F1.
That's criminal.
A white one that's fucked after one wear. But anyway, here, there's just no jacking of prices.
Yeah.
It just everything stays nice and level. It's nice.
And to give the people an idea at home, like we'll be back next year. Like it's
we're back for next 20 years.
Yeah, it is just, it has impressed us so much. And probably spending the money on the flights is probably the only big expense. Everything else has been really good. It's probably the same prices.
But it's
doing
so,
a week in Phillip Island anyway.
It's so good. Like we go to this Skyview Resort where like, less than a K from the track, all us guys, we get a grab scooter each, or we got our P1 pass, which was hilarious.
Yep.
But you just like go in, do what you need to do, or if you want to come back halfway through the day and like jump in the pool, you can jump in the pool. Yeah. And then how good was it you come back, beers in the pool with the boys, and then go out and grab like a fucking awesome Thai meal. Like,
I just wanted
amazing.
To say, calling this place Skyview Resort is a bit of a stretch.
yeah. More like a room. Skyview room.
But you know what's crazy? And I was saying this to you guys yesterday. It's the only place that I've been to that the photos looked worse than what it actually was. It's always the other way around in Thailand. Like, yeah, I think this actually are pretty good.
Oh, we loved it. Yeah. So when we first walked in, though, Tommy was like freaking about the aircon. All he wanted to know was
I turned it on,
aircon.
It was cold air coming out, and I relaxed. It was just an instant relief.
He wakes me up halfway through the night, and like the first night, and he goes, Jim, the aircon's making noises, like it's going poof, poof, poof,
oh, yeah, it was making poof, all sorts poof, of
it was, like,
noise.
Popping, it was like popping, like backfiring.
Fearful
and
that it was going to
stop.
He
was freaking out.
I couldn't sleep.
Anxious,
dude's got PTSD.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
We got gunshots out the back somehow. We had balloons popping yesterday. We
Bro,
had all sorts of stuff.
Talk about loud noises. What about when we went to the Thai concert thing in the track?
Oh, yeah.
So, each night they run like a big party inside the paddock and it fills up with locals from the area. So, it's not so much the people that have been at the track all day. It's like its own nightclub that operates on this weekend.
Yeah.
Danby actually explained it to me. He said he used Moomba as an analogy. It's like it brings everybody in. For this, you know, they're not there for the water skiing. They're there for the party and the rides and stuff, you know.
And you had to have a ticket to the event to get in. Because then we had to talk our way in at the start.
Oh, that was
so then it
funny.
Was also sell more tickets to the event, which is super smart of them.
Yeah, but there must have been another ticket for these locals. Like, there was more scooters in the car parking area for that night.
100%.
Or maybe they were letting locals in. I'm not sure exactly
probably,
how it worked.
Yeah, they were probably letting locals in.
They stopped
in
us. Yeah, we managed to talk our way around that.
Well, you kind of just... They said, no, no, no. Then you just said, thank you, and we walked in.
The most
and then we high-fived them.
We had
cool,
to show them
cool.
photos of our tickets langens on our neck and to get in.
And I was holding it up next to my face going, look me.
They weren't buying it either, but we were going in one way or another.
Too polite. They're just too polite, as Debbie says. Crazy.
Jack Miller. So I was reading this morning that his fairing clips came loose during the race. And it's funny because we were in the Primark garage literally just before the race and they were bolting the fairings on.
I know.
We were
also distracted him.
And you know what? On their number one bike with the silver frame.
Yep.
I was watching the guy put that tank cover on and he was like whacking it. I'm like, settle down.
Because press officer was trying to hide it from us with the video, I'm pretty sure. She was standing there like putting her back to it.
So no, we couldn't film Miguel's side. We definitely couldn't film Miguel's side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's interesting. That was that the fairing that went loose, the engine
cover?
Yeah,
yeah.
We had that. I got that on video.
We've actually got like ground zero of the fairing.
We
have fairing drama.
Who's responsible? Yeah.
But you're right, age. He was. He was taking ages to get it on.
Yeah.
Fuck. There you go. That's crazy. Anyway,
that was interesting going into those pits. All this is vlogged, by the way. We're gonna have it out hopefully in a couple of weeks when we get back. Yeah. But we'll vlog the whole trip, as you guys will know. But we went into the Primark garage. We were very lucky for that. And a shout out to Lucia, the press officer, and I forgot the fellow's name who ran through. That's just a scooter going past us.
And the Aprilia access was up there. Well, it was the best access we've ever had.
Shout out to Victoria.
Yeah, she was amazing. We were in. We were treated like bloody guests. We got taken out to the pit wall.
It was just
incredible.
Amazing yeah. hospitality. Yeah. I was just going to say, with Primark though, you'll see it in that vlog. We basically got a run through, you know, I was asking him questions about Jack Miller's rear brake pedal, ride height devices, how that works, what the button is for it, yeah. like the whole shot device. It was really interesting, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, they really took us through some of the stuff that I think these people that watch the pod will be really keen to see.
Yeah.
Just the way you activate the ride height device. I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know. I've not seen that anywhere.
You don't get a lot of that access to a MotoGP bike unless it's from MotoGP.com. Yeah. They don't normally let, a few random dudes in to actually film that. So it was really nice of them to be able to do that. Obviously the stuff that we couldn't film and everything, and that's fine. I understand that. But just to have that access was really interesting. It was funny. It's like, it's so refreshing speaking to you guys because you're asking about specific things on bikes where normally it's just like corporates that walk in and they just want to take a selfie and, just to say they've been there.
Yeah, he was good. He was from an F1 background. I think it was Michael or...
That's how long those... He was from F1, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was worked in F1. He said he came over to MotoGP and the passion is just... It's so much... I'm not going to say it's so much more, but it's more of a niche market, isn't it? So... These guys coming through and having a look at these beautiful machines. Even his eyes were lighting up when we were asking him questions. So it was good.
Mate, really, really cool. Heat.
Look, yeah. I think we handled it pretty well. I was pretty happy with myself.
Yeah, I think you've done an amazing job. Yeah. I think you've been sweatier sitting at Benzina doing a pod than I've seen you this weekend.
Yeah, I think, again, it's all mental, isn't it, to a certain extent. Sunday, yesterday was a struggle.
It got me.
But that was, I reckon I had about 3.5 hours sleep.
It was like a snake bite. It was like slow release venom. The third day, Vogan got you.
Yeah, it got me. So I was struggling at that point. But yeah, I mean, Friday, Saturday, I don't know what I was complaining about. It was easy.
But again,
you're right. Like, you just got to accept it.
Sunday afternoon, though, in the Marquez grandstand, we had a little conversation and you made the right call not coming and sitting in the aircon. Because you're not a man of the people. No, but you would have battled getting up there, and there was you were sitting rubbing shoulders.
And I think that the footage that I got and seeing them put Marquez brothers holding hands coming into the pits,
that was cool.
And I just had to see that race start. I really wanted to see that race start from that point because that is the loudest noise in the world. Like it bouncing off that massive grandstand as well. And they sort of half put on their throttle, and you're like, oh, this is loud. And then the light's about to go, full throttle, and then releasing that, start device. Incredible. Yeah. Loved it.
Going up that Marquez stand, though, like, there's no walkway. You literally just have to just push
past. Yeah, damn you. He bloody warned us of that. There's no aisles.
No, there's no
aisles.
It's
just amazing how they can do that. And there's no way of getting back down to get any drinks.
Yeah.
Again, that's what Aussies would probably think of. Oh, how can we make more money out of this? Yeah. How can we make more money coming up and down and selling stuff? No, once you're in there, you're in there, So, very different way of doing it. And I still don't know, is that a permanent grandstand or they put it up only for the MotoGP?
It's definitely built for the event.
Yeah.
It's very, it's got that typical lattice sort of structure.
Yep.
Back to the heat. Alex Rins had major burns on his leg. The last thing he needs on his legs is more injuries.
So, is that from the exhaust or is it?
It's just from, I think it was more from his own bike.
Yeah, right.
So, that's why he had a stinker of a race. And the heat forced Digia to retire in the sprint race.
Did it really?
That's how bad it was. Juan Mir's got blisters on his hands. So the heat was a real issue. So they we spoke to Massimo Merigalli and he was talking about, maybe shortening the main race.
Yep.
But it obviously didn't come to fruition, but the heat was a real issue. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do this time next year. If they are going to come back, You know, I asked every single person that I spoke to, whether it be Massimo or riders or press officers or team people, I always ask them the same question. Do you think we're coming back this time next year? Because the heat has been such a talking point. They all said yes. So.
Well, it's funny. If we were here a week earlier, it would have been 32 degrees every day. It just happened to be this hot.
Victoria said they were wearing a jumper at night at one point for testing.
Yeah, 12, 14 days earlier. Yeah. It was like mid-20s.
And yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was 32. We were looking at the weather and then bang, Friday, 38, Saturday, 39, 39. And then it was 38 for about 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
So it's just this point where it changes the... I mean, I guess it's just a heat wave, isn't it? So
it's a heat wave, right.
It's not the hottest part. I was talking to someone. It's not the hottest part it usually is of the year, but it's, you know, close enough. All good.
These boys organising a swim or something.
You can have a little chat. It's all good.
Don't talk too much, all right?
But yeah, it's the heat's been it was stifling, but I think the media pass has probably helped a lot. You know, you had that chance to cool off for me and get that core body temp down.
If you didn't have the facility you guys had access to, you'd be in the toilets every
Especially Tommy.
Yeah,
especially Tommy.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think it would have been a different scenario if I didn't have that, to be honest.
But the thing is obviously, we're in the media center, but we're still actually working there. Like, we've edited, like, all the food sports stuff as well and got all our videos out at the same time.
We had a good combination of doing...
Work and play?
Work and play, yeah. I think it was... Friday was a bit hectic at the start. We was trying to get everything organized and, you know, we wanted to get, you know, visit team boxes. And everyone's like, it's the first round. Like, it's so busy. And then Sunday just came and then it all worked out, didn't it? So...
Tell me, guys, the Ben Cousins quote.
The second day is better than the first, and the third day is better than the second.
And it goes on for about 14 days. It starts declining. When you start seeing ghosts and shit coming around. Ghosts. Maddie? Yeah.
That's what this weekend was. Every day was better than the last.
Yeah. Yeah,
it just didn't.
But wait, yeah, I mean, it was.
Ben Cousins
really was.
Did get a fair reference this weekend, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he did.
But definitely, yeah. Next year, Thursday, we'll have to get her a day early because we doing a track walk would be super interesting. Because as I was saying to you this morning, I'm like, I know how the track. Hey.
Oh yeah. You might melt into the asphalt. It's a 45 degree.
I'll do a shoe swap halfway through, like a pit stop. But at back the back sort of right of the track, it doesn't get a lot of coverage through there, sort of the left hand or right hand. So it'd be interesting to go up to that back part of the circuit to see what it's all about. So it's an interesting, and Dan, you touched on this yesterday. It's got a higher average speed than Phillip Island on that track. It's the highest average speed on the calendar.
I didn't know that.
So
shit.
Are you serious?
You got four straights. They've got one of the longest straights on the calendar as well on that back straight,
bro.
So it's idea.
Biggest thing I noticed when I first noticed going into this track is how hard they break into that last corner. Watching the Moto 2 bikes, but it just looks like they're never going to make the corner at all.
You're right. It's how fast they were. Yeah, it's a really unusual last corner. That, and I said to you, like, you can come through. It's okay. Yeah.
You're just going to be on a world-renowned podcast, so that's all right.
It's an unusual to have two sort of 90-degree right-handers, the last corner and the first corner. It's not a very MotoGP track thing. So normally long sweepers or a hairpin to finish sort of thing. So yeah, it's an unusual layout. I think it's probably more of a car layout when they first designed it, but it's developed really well for the bikes. So
it's been great.
Developed into a great track for the
bikes. And it's great for spectators, you know, kind of wherever you sit around that track, you're seeing three quarters of it.
Herman Tilke designed Danby as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Which is a renowned Formula One track designer, yeah.
Yeah, right. I wonder how much he gets paid for each track he designs.
Yeah, that's a good question. How about a good person to have on the pod?
Probably like an architect or somebody like that.
True.
I don't know.
You know who I want to keep speaking to is those press officers. They had really good insight into how teams work. You know, you're really fascinated with it.
Yeah, it was interesting because it's their job to get you the access to the people that they think you want to talk to, whether it be engineers or riders and all that sort of stuff. But their take on the way, you know, everything that they see is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I tried to capture a little bit of it.
You did.
They didn't really want to be on camera sort of thing. So
we said to, I think it was maybe Victoria or Lucia, we're like, we'll talk to you. She goes, no, not me. Yeah. Why would you want to talk to me?
It's funny. She said, I'm too shy. I'm like, stop talking.
I know.
Hardly shy.
And then I'm like, you must think it's so strange because like we see, like we're, next to Bezecchi's bike, sitting in like Martin's seat, whatever. And I'm like, you mustn't, I said to her, I'm like, you mustn't even care for these bikes. Like, the novelty must be so far off. She's like, I couldn't care less. Like, yeah, it's just hilarious, you know.
She's got a job to do.
Yeah, she's got a job to do. It's like, it's funny watching everyone fangirl around all this stuff and we're all laughing, you know, and having a great time. But it was just interesting, interesting take.
But up close and personal with those MotoGP bikes, especially Aprilia, how big they are.
Bro, massive. We were on the pit lane.
Yeah.
And we were like 4 feet away, not even. Like, I could have touched Marco as he jumped on his bike and took off. And their media people were moving out of the way for us.
Yeah.
Felt like a big dog.
It was bizarre. We've got it on camera where like, the official photographer in the vest and everything, he's like, as we're taking a photo with my iPhone, and he's like crawling underneath me trying to, you know, like not get in my way.
As the bikes are coming out to go on the track.
I know, it's bizarre. Jump out of Salvatore's way.
Very, very bizarre. Now, speaking of Aprilia, Danby's got a hot take. He reckons he was just about to dominate. He could dominate this weekend if he was here.
Martin.
Mm. If he was here and if he didn't Jorge Martin himself, which is, he liked that.
Hilarious.
Danby. Hilarious. If he didn't Jorge Martin himself, what do you boys think he actually could have done? Could he have taken it to Marc Márquez?
Imagine Agüero beating Martin.
Oh, see, imagine that's a great that take.
Here. Imagine.
That's a great take.
It's a great take because that top three, but and I thought we saw this all through the weekend. It was really hard to pass. The heat, everything was like the only real pass we had for in the top five places, all of both races was probably Marc Márquez and Alex Márquez. So I think
there was also the 10 guys that got past Jack Miller
in the sprint race. And race. I think he crashed, didn't he? Yeah, true. Well, Miller might have had an excuse now. I think he would have been up there. I don't see him beating the Marquez brothers this weekend though.
Guys, just want to say a massive shout out to our amazing sponsor, motoheaven.com.au. Now, Tom, I've actually had the privilege of going down to their store and seeing what they do. And the amount of packages that they send out and the amount of orders they have is they've got a streamlined process. It's awesome. We want to give them a massive shout out because they do same day dispatch or next day dispatch. They do all the biggest brands, Shoei, HJC, Alpine Stars, Dine Easy. They've got an amazing website, amazing parts finder. You can get all the parts for your bike as well. So get down to motoheaven.com.au and you can get all your needs for your motorcycles. And that's for Australia and New Zealand. Sorry, more tired to the hair. It's actually the heat that got to the camera. It's 40 degrees at like 10.
Not only Tommy's overheating, the camera is as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's like you're like spirit animals, you two. I can't remember what we're talking about, but I think it was Jorge Martin. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does, even in the future when he comes back. Like, it's, you know, if Marc Márquez goes out in a roll, you know, we've got Argentina next, his track. Then we've got...
Austin?
We've got Austin, his track. So that's just two Marc Márquez tracks, and he's already done
that. When are we going to Qatar?
The week after.
Okay.
The week after, Danby's is yelling
at me right there. And then Jerez.
And Jerez, yeah.
To get the real stuff started.
Yeah.
Eh?
So, Mark can win the first three out of four.
He's winning the championship.
God.
We all know it. We all think it. You know, he's going to win the championship. He's the best. He's the best there is. The best there was. Best there'll ever be. And they're going to write
a few Rossi guys here.
And they'll write a book or a movie about this one day because the comeback that he has had after his arm injury and all the things that went with it, you know, those dark years, it's an incredible feat. So it's super exciting this year.
Is Jorge Martin going to salvage something this year? Like, it's so ridiculous to say, like, who knows what's going to happen. But
race wins, yeah, but he's not going to be, he's already four steps behind. Like, he's going to be coming back injured. He's got leg injury, arm injury. He's got all sorts of things.
Is he
going
to come back for Argentina, you reckon?
No, I don't think he's. That's been confirmed. No. Yeah.
Danby's saying out, yes?
Out. Yeah.
And Marquez is trying to talk him into staying out longer by
saying, true.
Respect your body.
Yeah. That's funny, isn't it?
Coming from Marquez as well. Goodness.
Well, fuck. Marquez came back after that massive Jerez crash, remember?
Yes.
And then tried to ride that next day. And, you know, he was around 16th place, whatever. Yeah. Just cooked.
Yeah.
But you can understand, you know, why they do that.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean,
mate, Cheeseburger came back after collarbone.
Yeah, true.
Aston, yeah, but so he got like a fifth.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Well, like honestly, Jorge Martin, we haven't really touched on it, but like another crash again on motocross. Like just coming back from that huge crash, another injury. Like, as that's what I'm saying, he's been Jorge Martin himself because like, come on, man, yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah,
you're reigning world champion on supposedly one of the best bikes out there. Iguro got fourth and a fifth in his first bloody race. Yeah. Like, and we want to see this as fans. Mm. Like, you know, you were spewing when we found out.
I was devo to know Martin that he wasn't going to be here, for sure. It's been a great weekend. If I was somebody high up at Aprilia, I couldn't look him in the eye. I'd be that pissed off at him for a second injury. Like, understand that they've got to train, and the best way to train to ride motorcycles is to ride motorcycles. But if you're recovering from an injury, just get on the fucking push bike.
Yeah.
Chill out. You know, do what you got to do. Get back on the bike. You've done 13 laps on the fucking thing.
Yeah. It's not like riding motocross is just going to elevate you so much in those few weeks in between the racing anyway. 100%. Like,
and you're right. He has an injury. He had an injury from testing, and he's on a motocross bike. I just don't understand it.
That risk definitely is just not worth it.
He's proved it.
Yeah. So
and then to go so hard and then have another accident, I think it's deplorable. And you're right. I mean, the head honchos, they're paying all this money to get him over here, and they've got the number one bike. They've gone that big launch and everything like that, and it's just been utter disappointment so far.
You think the heads of Ducati having a little giggle in the box?
Yeah. Well, mate, like exactly. Mark Marquez goes out and goes pole, sprint, win, domination, and then dominates the main race. Like it is, is the dynamic going to change in Ducati? Like, is it, you know, like they're all jumping up and down off Mark after celebrating the win? Like, are they really going to start? If Marquez wins the next 3 out of 4 races, or, you know, he goes 4-0 or 5-0, whatever he does, which he's very capable of doing, is the dynamic going to change where they're like, you know, we're putting all our chips in on Mark Marquez? And I reckon that would be in the back of Davide Tardozzi's head right now.
And Bagnaia's.
Yep.
And Bagnaia's. I think, yeah, the tide will definitely switch. And it has switched in the past so quickly, hasn't it?
But yeah, 100 million%
We just saw that funny meme of Pecco in Pramac gear. How funny is that? Already, one round in.
I know, one round. It's funny how you can jump on a bandwagon. But then Bagnaia, you never know. He could come out and then just kick some ass in Argentina.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I hope he does for the championship's sake, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of variables this weekend, the weather and everything like that.
Yeah, they've been testing there as well.
Yeah.
But, like, we've seen this version of Mark Marquez, and it's a very, very scary version. When he's toying with a field like that in the extreme heat, first round on a brand new bike up against Pecco Bagnaia that's knows that bike better than anyone else in this world, and you got Alex Marquez who's second on an older bike. It is, yeah, I don't know. And how's Alex Marquez? Like, he's always a forgotten soldier in all this, isn't he? He's been amazing.
I think his whole life's been like that.
Yeah,
he's Mark's brother.
Yeah, he's Mark's brother.
He's had the pace all through both tests and in the first Grand Prix. So let's see what he can do.
It's awesome to see. It's great to see, and it's just so interesting how, in a MotoGP career, he's been in the grid for, you know, how many years, 6-7 years or whatever it is. He's gone through like Repsol, LCR, really just been nowhere. And then he's finally found his straps a little bit in the Ducati, and now he's gone out and got all these seconds this round, looking so quick. But I still don't know with him because he's such a yo-yo. He can be up and down. And I think that he might do that in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think, and I think Morbidelli's the same as that. I mean, he had a good result, didn't he, fourth place?
Couldn't turn left, though, at that left-hander on the inside of the track of Morbidelli. He ran wide about... I was telling Danby during the race, like, you just watch Morbidelli through that corner.
Every time.
He ran wide.
Yeah,
tough section there. Really tough section of the track. But yeah, I mean, I think Morbidelli's going to go well this year, but the same sort of thing. He might yo-yo up and down. I think the 24 versus 25 Ducati we touched on last week, that the gap's pretty small at the moment with their engine and chassis being very similar. So it's going to be exciting. I think the first half of this season will be super exciting. We'll see some crazy results. So, But I think Marquez is going to be the... Yeah,
that's scary. No one's
beating him. I was just going to say Acosta.
Yeah, good point. I haven't spoke. He's really just been flying under the radar this whole weekend.
Just mid-pack.
Yeah, he crashed. Still, he crashed. And now that's one I forgot, actually. He did crash and then came back. I think he finished second last, something along the lines of that. But God, it was funny watching him. And this is what you don't get on TV. is you're watching him going around by himself, lap after lap in 40 degree heat, thinking he's going to get nothing out of this. Yeah. They've already tested for 2 days there. I don't need to test, keep testing and testing and testing. And he's just for no reason. And yeah, it's interesting. You don't get that on the TV. So
it's going to be interesting to see what happens with KDM and Acosta. Like, you know, he was quick in qualifying, I'm pretty sure. And he was kind of up there, but if he's, you know, mid pack or just eights, ninths, tenths,
He's
1 foot out the door. By Mugello, he's signed with someone else. Oh, is he on a 2-year contract though? Oh yeah, it might be difficult then if KDM stays. Yeah, that's it. Will they be there next year?
Doesn't feel like after that that they'll see the year out.
Who knows?
Tough weekend.
Can you switch? Can Tech 3 switch manufacturers mid-year?
Imagine that.
they come to Mugello with like a Ducati.
That'd
be crazy. they come off the trucks with Ducatis. That'd be just wild, wouldn't it?
that would be the funniest. That's
allowed. Probably not, but
imagine like all the sponsors and things you'd have to go through. But hey, Rossi changed tire manufacturers halfway through a season. That's pretty Tech 3 unheard Honda. Of. Tech 3 Honda.
Why not?
Honda's back.
Honda's back.
Yeah. Honda's back. And I don't want to take all the credit. There's the credit right there. But I think we've got to take at least 90% of it. I think it was basically us that really spurred them on. And we spurred them on so much that Harry from their press officer was even telling us about it.
Yeah.
So they got to do something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Mir was quick. Marini was up there. Zarco was like seventh in the main race.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super impressive.
Bro, what do you mean? This is incredible. That's a huge leap. They're more impressive right now than Yamaha. Go on. Change my mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think this track, though, probably helps that bike.
Argentina, I think
lid's not off just yet.
Lid's off for, like, getting a top 10.
Yeah.
Not a win. It's a lid's off for top 10.
I think the big thing for me was that they're just not falling over every second corner. Like, you know, their bike must be more rideable
this
year.
It has to be.
And that was what I touched on last week. It's like, I just want them to stay on the bike.
Yeah.
So that was the thing with last year and the last 2 years. Mir crash, Marini crash. It was just a guarantee.
It's like he was getting a crashing bonus, wasn't it?
The way like just, yeah, low siding for fun. I've said that. Got told off by Harry from that, but that's fine. It is what it is.
You're only telling
the any truth, publicity though. Is good publicity, as I say, so... Let's jump on to Moto2. Senna Aegis.
Let me get some results. That
one of the rides of his life, I think. And I spoke to his dad post race, and I said, "Mate, I thought he was done. He knocked Vietti off, long lap penalty, went back a couple of positions, and he had the gap was significant.
Yeah,
came back, pushed, and then past two guys got the podium. I think that was an amazing result.
The mindset, obviously, just like put that in the back of your head and charge you, because he was pretty far back. I'm like, man, I'm not too sure if he's going to catch him.
Couldn't believe it.
He got him, and then
3-4 seconds. Yeah. I feel like at one point.
Yeah, definitely. And then they, you know, had a with him and Diego Moreira, had a bit of a battle, and then he just finally got on the inside of
it. Great racing as well.
I do feel, and I know where Senna's a big fan of the pod, and he's a pod fave, but that where he knocked Vietti is not an overtaking opportunity.
Where was it again?
Right in front of the Marquez stand.
Yeah, yeah. That left right. Flip.
I thought so.
And but I can't help but think, because you could never normally get up the inside of someone there or be thereabouts.
Yeah, yeah.
So something must have happened to Vietti. They opened just the tiniest little gap, and Senna, being a racer, has gone for it, but it wasn't really a gap. But
served the long lap. The inside word was from the dad is Senna went up, apologized to Vietti, and they weren't too happy with him, so
I can see why.
Shuffled him out of the box, unfortunately. But that's racing at the end of the day, isn't it? So Manu Gonzalez, another pop babe, he had an amazing race, and he's number one, I suppose.
Number one, first place, one of our pod faves, Manu Gonzalez. Second, Aaron Canet.
Standard.
Second to Ken.
Bridesmaid king.
Can't believe it. Yeah. Senna Aegis, third. Well done to our boy. Diego Moreira, who's been amazing last year and starting off again this year. Fourth, Marcos Ramirez, your boy Tom. Fifth, Barry Bolter, sixth. Seventh, Jake Dixon. Danny Holgado had a great debut on eighth. Philip Selach, 9th. Alonso Lopez, 10th. Your boy Onchu was 12th. Arbolino, 13th.
Arbolino, disappointing.
Our boy Adrian Huertas, 14th for him.
Foosport athlete?
Foosport athlete. David Alonso, just so everyone knows, was 21st, still nursing that injury. I know I spoke to Mr. Aspar Martinez in the airport, and we were talking about David Alonso, and he's still obviously getting over that injury. And it's a very tough start to a Moto2 career. It's hard enough when you're fully fit, let alone injured. So it's going to be interesting to see how he progresses through the year.
Yeah, it's that intact GP squad looks phenomenal,
mate,
doesn't
awesome,
it?
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. So happy. And it's funny because we actually kind of know Manu Gonzalez now and Senna Aegis. So it was really cool to see. And it looks like they got really good team harmony in there as well. So
well, that was the thing when post-race, they both jumped at each other, hugged each other, and then hugged the team. You don't see that much in GP racing these days. So super impressive and exciting for them this year. They seem to be the team to beat.
It's going to be interesting. Moto2 is now so close and competitive. It's, you know, you kind of with especially going into Europe, you really I think it starts to even out and you really find out who your big contenders are, and I hope Senna's in that conversation.
100%.
Yeah, you know? I think what really was interesting seeing the field, how close it is. Like you saw the field after 10 laps, it was still like all close. Again, it was hard to pass on that track, being that with the heat and the tires and tire wear, et cetera. But that field and that is probably the healthiest it's ever been and ever will be. And it was funny. I was watching the Intact GP, and I think I said to you, I said this sort of reminds me of the KTM days with Fernandez and Remy Gardner, where there's that one team that really had that outstanding year. So we'll see if they can replicate that.
Yeah, it's going to be... it's so hard to tell in the first round, but it's good. Like, you know, we kind of knew Manny was going to be quick even a few years ago speaking to him, you know?
Yeah. Those fifth places that year, we had, I think, 10 fifth places or something along the lines of that.
He's just been there.
And when that happens, it really shows they're riding the skin out of the bike.
Yeah.
Because they're there, thereabouts, every round, every weekend. And he just needed to be put on a slightly better bike, and it seems like he's had that this year. So
yeah.
But he's such a nice guy.
Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Very humble.
Very humble. Happy to talk. Happy to wait around and talk with us when we came into the pit box and took us through that. So that was really cool.
Are we the good luck charm for Senna? Two podiums. Two for two. We even had people tag us in Instagram for that.
Yeah, he's had two podiums, and we've been there for both of them, which. In two different countries, it's just crazy. So
that's 100% of his podiums.
Yeah.
I'd say you're onto something there.
So there's got to be something in that. Got to be something deep down in that.
He Maybe feels more relaxed around
you. Valencia flights.
Yeah. Good call, actually.
Argentina. Yeah. But yeah, Moto3 was funny this week because it was hard to get any. It was hard to get any. Like, we didn't watch much of it.
Well, I was editing like a lot of it.
It was just so tough to sit and actually see the new kids that are coming through and who was fast, who wasn't fast, and then it was a bit of a one-sided affair in the end, wasn't it?
Well, there was heaps of crashes, heaps of penalties that had come out of it.
Yep.
I think there was 14. There was 15 finishes.
Yeah.
So results.
Yep.
Jose Antonio Rueda. 2, Alvaro Carpe. 3, Adrian Fernandez. 4, Stefano Nepa. 5th, Matteo Battelli. 6th, Dennis Foggia. 7th, David Almanza. 8th, Ricardo Rossi. 9th, Joel Esteban. And 10th, Luca Linetta. And shout out to Kiwi first timer Cormac Buchanan. He finished 15th.
Yeah, I was gutted for Scotty Ogden. He was up there top five, then crashed on the last corner.
Crazy. I think he got taken out.
No. He got passed and then sort of was probably a little bit over-aggressive trying to keep the move. Was gutted. He saw him in the back of the pits at the end of the race. He looked devastated. And to go that whole race and to miss out on points was gutted, gutted for him. And but yeah, a few new names in there as well. The second place... can't pronounce it. Capri, I think it was. Capri, he was on debut to get a second place. Is amazing.
Yeah, he's supposed to be quick.
Yeah, we'll have to dissect that obviously when we rewatch the race and all that kind of thing.
It's going to be interesting once they go back to Europe as well. Moto3, it's a thing. And
yep.
Shame for Kelso as well, DNF. So hopefully he can.
Yeah. Big shame.
Hit his head hard too.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, went over backwards and
smashed his head.
Yep.
It's full on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Anyway. It's getting hot here.
Yeah, you see. You're actually watching in real time Tommy really struggling with
it. We're also slowing down. And it's getting to a point. It was like, what is it, 41, Matty?
41 with humidity at 54.
So it is cooking here in Buriram. We're going to be heading off in a couple of hours back to Bangkok, and then you might see our heads pop up in Phuket somewhere. Who knows?
Probably. How good has Buriram been, though?
So impressed.
Going out to all the dandy sniffing stuff. Oh my god!
not again.
But like all the restaurants are being cool. The whole town's being cool, and like we were told that there was nothing there.
Who told you that?
Danby. He actually.
Why though?
He got sports netted.
Yeah, he got sports netted.
But it was funny, right? Like we're like, we need to get these. We had to pick up our credentials. We go to the track on the Friday morning. It's like a trillion degrees. Tommy's melting into the ground. It was hot. No one spoke English, and they're like, "You got to go to the shopping center." I'm like, "What? This has to be lost in translation." Yeah, like, what do you mean? We're picking up passes.
We're at the on the track. Center. Is the shopping center? They're like, "No, no, not at the track."
Yeah, no have.
And like, it was just they were just like clueless. They didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Our fault. We got an email that day.
Yeah, it was our fault.
We got an email and said clearly to pick up them from the from the hotel. So we'll cop that, and it wasn't the tire's fault at all. So.
They didn't say shopping center. They said it was like in a foyer of a hotel or something like that.
That was lost in translation.
And we got there and there's a Uniqlo and,
and Nike.
Starbucks, Nike, yeah. All these shops. Was
again, another cool experience, wasn't it? It was funny going there.
It was so good.
But the town's huge. Like,
The town is massive. I just don't understand. And like, we drove Will back on the back in a car on the way back last night, and we went past this place. Heaving. Oh, this pub was...
All the people eating at the front?
Yeah. It was massive. And there was a band.
Also, that bar we're at last night, if like I've not seen it in the daytime. Obviously, we've been there two nights. But there's a lake like a river running through the front of it as well.
Yeah.
Don't know if you'd swim in it.
I don't think you would.
No, but it's a pretty city. Like, I'm thinking this is just going to be like...
I love this place.
Yeah. I thought it was really going to be a real rundown sort of country style village, but it is a serious city here, and it's been. And if you're ever thinking of coming, just get it, just do it.
Yeah.
Just have an open mind with accommodation, and you'll be fine. And they're open on with the heat as well, I suppose.
Yeah. Like the actual place is really cool. I still think there's lots to do and to check out, and it was really interesting. We went into like a food hall on the Saturday night. Don't know how we got there, but we did. But it was like just full of, it was like locals, completely local place. It was, it's like they've never seen white people before. It was very, very funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious, actually.
But it was actually good. We got like the...
It's right next door, too. It's a short walk.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's a short walk.
I can't really remember.
From there.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't. You were doing something.
I got the grab scooter. It was good.
Yeah, you got grabbed, all right. No, it was good. It was a great experience. And look, it feels like we've been here, I reckon, longer than what the 3 or 4 days have been.
Loved
here.
It. I could stay.
Which means you had a really good time, you know?
I could definitely
We're excited to jump in the pool and have a last couple of hours here, and then we'll head home. So,
H, what's been your favourite part, mate, besides hanging out with us?
Look, it's been pretty eye-opening. I mean, you know, one of those things we haven't talked about is like there's these trucks that have got like tractor motors in the front that are that loud, and they're all 400 flags hanging off them, all done up, and they're there to ferry you up and down. We're jumping on and off golf buggies here and there. Everyone's the stands, the cleanliness, the facilities, the view from the grandstand. You can watch the whole race unfold.
It's amazing.
You miss them for, you know, like a matter of seconds, which is a really, really good place to view from. The people are obviously delightful.
Yeah.
The food, everything's such good value. Once you're here, you really, I spent a few hundred bucks, honestly.
Yeah.
It feels cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting here was a little tricky. Bangkok and then another internal flight, or you can get a bus, or you've got to hire a car or something like that.
But it's a 5-hour drive, isn't it? So, I mean, that's another option as well, because you've got to think it's an hour, probably a 45-minute drive anyway from the airport.
Yeah.
So it's really only another 3 or 4 hours drive. That might be an idea, just to take that little bit of a, you know, that little bit of less of out of going to the airport and to Buriram and stuff. So we can think about doing that next year.
Because you could actually fly then into Bangkok and just leave.
And just leave.
Yeah. Night in town.
And that's what a lot of the teams do.
Yeah.
From
International flights to Buriram, you reckon? Well, that'd be good as well.
That airport didn't. I don't know if I can
handle that.
Bruce Collins, owner of Foosport, was telling us about the new terminal that they're building.
Oh,
where we got?
Let's just finish. We'll keep going.
What were you saying about Bruce Collins?
He was just saying that they're under construction right now is the new terminal that.
Okay.
Because he was saying that they want F1 at this circuit, and they said, "Well, there's no chance of even consideration without an international airport."
Yeah.
So they're like, "Okay, no problem. We'll put in an international airport." So they're having a crack at it anyway.
That's cool.
F1 here would be cool.
We're coming here twice.
Yeah.
I don't know how like the F1 fangirl Insta influencers would handle Buriram. I think this is a bit more of a MotoGP. Like as we said, like you couldn't bring your missus here. Like it's way too raw.
The facility could definitely handle it. I can't stress enough to have
the facility
200,000 people at that event.
100%
ferrying people via truck. You never think it would work, but it works. It works fine.
One thing I was actually surprised about was that all those boxes were not air conditioned either. Mm. So they were, the heat we were feeling, they were working on the mic feeling as well. I thought that they might have some, you know, aircon or something in there. But, so they definitely were cooking too.
Yeah, cooking, definitely. What was your favourite part, Thomas Love?
Look, I think the media centre.
Man of the people.
My favourite part was just roaming around the back of the pits. I'm not saying it's because of the access we had, but for me,
what about like the back of the behind the thing, like all the general admission is?
That was just walking through there and having everything: Ducati, Honda, Yamaha. You had two food
Harley.
You had two food stalls. You had Chang's flowing from every direction. It was incredible. It really was. Again, the highlight for me was just the beers in the pool. You know,
oh, I love
the
that.
The beers in the pool with the boys, taking photos, talking about all sorts of shit, having a team in there laughing at us, thinking, who are these bogan Aussies?
Loud bogan.
And just
drunk
the camaraderie
Aussies.
Between the six of us has just been awesome. That's been my favorite thing. Obviously, you know, getting to know you, Adrian, more, getting to know Mark. Me and Maddie go way back as well, so it's been fun. And obviously, Jimmy and I joined at the hip. So I think, there's just a camaraderie between everyone as well. It's been awesome.
Definitely a good group.
Yeah,
it was a good group. It was.
What
very,
about you, Jimmy
funny.
Boy?
Marquez winning. I think experiencing that with all the Thai people and like all the internationals around us, and then being next to the Chantra stand, they had all the drums going,
they
chanting,
going off.
Like imagine if Chantra was actually fast, how much would be going off? That was really cool to see, and like being in the heat, sweating. It was so hot, and everyone knows I've got a big schnoz. It was so hot. My sunnies literally were like this because they kept sliding down because of the sweat. It was very
That's
funny.
When you, know.
When
That's
you rewatch when you know. This back, you'll see you've been doing it the whole time.
The whole time. I've noticed myself doing it.
You need to get Asian fit ones. Asian fit.
I need to get these tongue. Get some new cheapies and Phuket.
But we'll definitely be back 100%.
We're going to be back next time, this time next year, whenever it's back on. It's been so much fun and so different. I love different. I just can't say how much how awesome everyone's been and how friendly all the locals have been, and everyone's been so cool. Like it's been no hiccups whatsoever.
Not whatsoever. Nothing's gone wrong.
No.
So touch wood.
No. You haven't even we've had to share a room and you haven't even been snoring. It's been amazing.
It's amazing.
That's when you know you're
hilarious.
Winning. Adrian, thanks for coming on, mate. Thanks for coming with us.
Thanks, Adrian.
Yeah.
Shout look for motorheaven.com.au. He's the man that runs it.
And the vlog coming out as well.
The vlog's coming that's out exciting. As well. Yeah. We don't know when that's coming out. It's going to be a couple of weeks. What are you saying, Maddie? Don't worry about that.
It's all about positives, Maddie.
It's all about positives. So check out motorheaven.com.au. They've got everything that you need for motorcycle accessories. You're supporting Adrian.
You never pay full price.
Pay full price.
And free delivery over $100.
$150. Check out our vlog. It's going to be the funniest thing ever. We tried to record everything. We've even got like stuff at bars and everything. It's going to
be
one of the funniest things you're ever going to watch. It. And it's really good insight into like the back of the paddock, around the track in the Marquez stand of locals, in the pits. Literally everything that you can do at a Grand Prix, we filmed and we covered. So please keep an eye out for that. Now, in terms of this, we have to battle the Thai internet. So hopefully when you're listening to this, it's normal time in Australia. We just can't promise anything, especially with our YouTube. So anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for all being a part of it. It's been a great journey for the Thai GP so far. And we'll be back next week with a special guest. Done.
Thanks. Cheers, lads.
Easy.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.